Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series talking about healing. It is God's will to heal you. And I tell you, I've shared some powerful, powerful things this week. You know, I'm in a sense belaboring this point about it being God's will to heal you, because most Christians believe God can heal. That is not an issue. If God is God, He can do whatever He wants to. And most Christians will even accept that, you know, every once in a while a miracle will happen and stuff. But where the real contention and division comes is when you start saying it is God's will for you to be well. Because, man, that has not been embraced. And this resistance against believing that it is God's will is a major, major deal. You know, let's compare it to salvation. Let's say that a person said, yes, God can save people, but it's not His will to save everybody. He just saves a few people here and there, and you never know if you're one of those that God wants to save. If salvation was presented that way, I can guarantee you that when a person cries out and said, oh God, would you please save me? The devil would speak in your ear and say, no, He won't save you. You're too bad. It's not God's will. And He would talk multitudes of people out of ever receiving salvation if there was any doubt about whether it's God's will to save every person. But see, the Scripture makes it very clear. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the latter part of that verse says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, and many other Scriptures. It is God's will to save every person. And because we present salvation this way, and if a person was to say, but I'm too bad, we'll say, oh, no, that's not true. There's no sin. It's too bad. Paul said he was the worst sinner of all, and he was sent forth as an example about how God could save anybody. And so we try and convince people that it is God's will for them to be saved. And because of that, when a person cries out to the Lord, it's easy to receive salvation because they know that He died for the sins of the entire world. But then when it comes to healing, people look at that as a separate category. And they say, well, God can heal, but He's not His will to heal everybody. If you believe that, I can guarantee you Satan is going to convince you that you're the exception, that God, for whatever reason, you're too bad or too far gone or He's not going to heal you. But that's not true. You have to know that it's God's will for you to be well. And I've shared a lot of Scriptures already. What I want to do today is to tie healing to the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a separate thing. Jesus died to heal your body just as much as He died to forgive your sins. And man, that is super, super offensive to many, many people, because the modern day church has broken salvation up into segments. And they say, well, healing is the only thing that's a part of His atonement. It's the only thing that's guaranteed. Excuse me, I said that wrong. Forgiveness of sins is the only thing that is a part of Jesus' atonement. It's the only thing that's guaranteed, and that's His will for everybody else. Now, He can also heal. He can deliver. He can prosper. He can do all kinds of things, but those things aren't a part of what Jesus died to produce. Those are just things that might be add-ons. And because the church has dissected salvation into these different parts, and then they just choose the part about forgiveness of sins and say that's the only thing that's guaranteed and available to every person. Everything else is conditional. That has caused a lot of problems, but that is not what the Bible teaches. There's a lot of ways. I'm going to show you a bunch of individual Scriptures, but let me just also show you some things about the very Greek word that is used for salvation. I forget exactly how many times, but it's hundreds of times in the New Testament. This word sozo, S-O-Z-O, is used to describe salvation. And it's translated save and saved literally hundreds of times. So this is the word, the Greek word that is used for salvation, describing some form of salvation hundreds of times in the Bible. But it's also used and translated healed in a number of times. Let me show you this in Mark chapter 5 and in verse 23. This is Jesus ministering to Jairus' daughter. And in Mark chapter 5 and in verse 23 it says, "And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." The word healed right here is this same Greek word, sozo, that was translated save and saved and all of these things. And it was applied to physical healing. The same thing is done in Luke chapter 8, verse 36. You know, I could just make a brief mention of these, but again, this is something that's not believed, it's not accepted by people, and so I'm going to take the time to turn over here and read all of these things because it needs to be emphasized. It needs to be shown that when the Bible talks about salvation, it's talking about healing, it's talking about deliverance, it's talking about prosperity. The way people have used salvation to refer to forgiveness of sins only is not scriptural. Here is another example in Luke chapter 8 and in verse 36. It says, "They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devil was healed." And this is talking about this man, the Gadarene demoniac, that had a legion of demons and he could break chains. He didn't wear clothes. He cut himself. He lived in the caves. And it says that they told him how he that was possessed of the devil was healed. This is that same Greek word that it refers to salvation, and it includes healing, deliverance from demonic things and all of the physical things that went along with that. Also in Acts chapter 14 and verse 9, this is where Paul ministered to this man who had been lame. And in Acts chapter 14 and verse 9, it says, "The same heard Paul," this is talking about this impotent man, "same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceived that he had faith to be healed." This is talking about Paul beheld this man and looked at him and perceived that he had faith to be healed. This word healed here is that same Greek word sozo that we talk about salvation. So here again is another confirmation that when it's talking about, when we're talking about salvation, it includes healing. Healing is a part of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, for time's sake, let me just go through some of these things. James chapter 5, verse 15, it says over there talking about that the prayer of faith will save the sick. And that's that same Greek word sozo. Now here it was translated save, but it's obvious that it's talking about, this isn't saying that his sins will be forgiven if you'll pray for him. It's talking about that he will be healed of whatever he has. In James chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "If anybody's sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil, praying over him, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick," talking about the healing of their body. So this word for salvation is applied to the healing of your body. In Luke chapter 6, verse 9, it talks about Jesus was criticized for healing people on the Sabbath day, and he used an example that if your ox falls into a ditch, you'll save it. How much more should I save this life on the Sabbath day? And he was talking about the physical healing of the man who had the palsy. And so here again, it's applied to healing. In Mark chapter 5, it talks about the woman with the issue of blood, and Jesus' virtue flowed out of him, and this woman's issue of blood instantly stopped. And he turned around, found out who had done it, and he said, "Daughter, go in peace. Your faith hath made you whole." And the word whole here is referring to her physical body being healed. It's that exact same word, sozo, that was translated whole in relation to your physical body being whole. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, it talks about this same woman with the issue of blood. And twice it says she was made whole. All of those words are this same Greek word, sozo. And anyway, on and on it goes. Jairus' daughter, it was talking about her made whole. Let me turn over here to Isaiah chapter 53. And I hadn't got time to put this chapter in all of its context, but it is a prophetic psalm talking about Jesus, how Jesus died for us and did all of these things. And here's what it says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You know, that's just about as clear as you can make it. With his stripes we are healed. And it's in the same context as everything else. The same way that he bore our sins and did all of these things, he bore our sickness. By his stripes we are healed. That is so obvious. And yet I was brought up in a denomination that read these scriptures, but they would invariably, every single time, they would apply it to spiritual things. They would say we were like spiritual cripples. We were limping through life, and Jesus came and gave us life. And you know what? It includes that. It's talking about, yes, the healing of your spirit, being forgiven of your sins. It's talking about emotional healing and all of those things, but it also includes the physical healing of your body. If you were to go back where it says he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. If you go back and look at those words in the Hebrew, you'll find out that they're talking about not just emotional things, but they're talking about physical sickness and disease. Now, I don't even have to go to the Hebrew to show you that, because I can turn right back to Matthew chapter 8 and the Bible will comment on itself. Here is an instance where Jesus had healed multitudes of people, and he even healed Peter's mother-in-law. And he just did all of these miracles. And this is what it's talking about in Matthew chapter 8. And in verse 14, it says, "And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laden sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick." Not some, but all that were sick. And look at this in verse 17. "That it might be fulfilled." Here's why he did it. Here's why he healed all that were sick. "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." Now this is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 53 verse 4. And it substitutes the words infirmities and sicknesses for sorrows and griefs. So even if you didn't know the Hebrew in the Old Testament, you could read the quotation in the New Testament, and the Bible interprets itself, comments on itself, and shows that this is not talking about just emotional things. Now, it doesn't exclude emotional things, but it is beyond that. It is physically talking about the sickness and the infirmities. When it says, "By his stripes we are healed," it is talking about physical healing. It is a part of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a person that doesn't believe that, you're going to disbelieve that because of tradition, not because of what the Word says. Man, I tell you, to me, that is just super, super clear. But there's even more. You can turn over here to Psalms chapter 103. And in Psalms 103, in verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." It puts healing of your body and the forgiveness of your sins in the same verse. The Bible doesn't separate salvation into forgiveness of sins, healing of your body, deliverance from demonic oppression, depression, etc., financial blessing. The Bible doesn't separate it. Man has done that. Our modern day apostate church has divided salvation and said the only thing that's important is the forgiveness of your sins. I've actually had people come to me before and say, let's not preach all of these other things. They cause contention and division. Let's just talk about just forgiveness of sins. Let's not talk about baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, healing, deliverance, prosperity. All of those things are contentious. The only reason they're contentious is because people reject those things. Man, it's all a part of one deal. When you got saved, you also got healed. And somebody says, well, I'm not healed. You got the healing power of God living on the inside of you in your spirit. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. You got the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwelling on the inside of you. Now, whether it ever gets out and produces physical healing in your body is not God's fault. It's not an indication of whether or not God is going to heal you. God's already put the healing power of God on the inside of you. It's an indication of whether you've renewed your mind and know how to draw out this power of God. But I'm telling you, God wants you to be well. He died for your healing. By His stripes you were healed just the same as you were forgiven of sins. If you would begin to look at healing as a part of your salvation, just as much as you do the forgiveness of your sins, you would start seeing healing manifest in your body. But most people see it as optional, and they don't put it together. But again, I'm using all of these scriptures. The scripture puts healing of your physical body right next to the forgiveness of your sins. It doesn't make a distinction between that. Let me turn over here to 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 24, and it does this again. It says in verse 24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. That's talking about the forgiveness of your sins. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. It puts the physical healing of your body and the forgiveness of your sins in the same category. Earlier this week, I talked from Mark chapter 2, where Jesus saw a man let down through the roof. And it was obvious that he needed to be healed. He was a paralytic. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. But when the people got upset saying, you can't forgive sins, He says, which is easier to say, your sins be forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? And He says, that you might know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then He said to the sick of the palsy, rise up, take your bed and walk. And He did. And Jesus coupled healing of your physical body right next to the forgiveness of your sins. It's only men who have separated. And I believe that the reason for it is that same principle that Jesus was talking about in Mark chapter 2. It's easier to say that your sins are forgiven because you can't see a sin. You can't see if it's forgiven. You can't tell if it's been erased. It's an intangible. And so it's easy to preach the forgiveness of your sins, but it's harder to preach the healing of your body, because if you preach healing and people come in and they're in a wheelchair, they've got crutches, they've got cancer, they've got all of these things, it's not as easy, because immediately if you preach healing and if they don't see something happen, there is going to be a resistance and a rejection. And so ministers have just avoided preaching on healing, because it's either put up or shut up. You're either going to see it manifest and they're going to say, well, what you're preaching is true, or they aren't going to see it manifest and immediately you're going to open yourself up to criticism. You know, on our program yesterday, I think it was, I mentioned that I was with Oral Roberts just a few months before he died. I was in his home and I asked him to pray with me that I would see greater manifestations of healing, and his first response is, he says, it won't work. And I said, why not? And he said, because you're a pastor. And I said, I'm not a pastor. I'm a television minister and I travel. And he says, oh, well, then I can pray for you. And he prayed for me, and I believe I've seen a greater manifestation of the healing power of God. But his reasoning, he didn't explain it to me, but I understood. Because see, when you're a pastor, and if you go to preaching on healing, you will start seeing people healed. You will see some good things happen, and then they'll start bringing in the sick. And I can guarantee you somebody is not going to manifest a healing. Not because it's not God's will to heal them, but because they're just, we got so much baggage, so much junk clogging our pipes that sometimes it's hard to get the power of God to flow through us. And if you are stationary in a local church, there's going to be somebody who stays in their wheelchair, somebody who keeps their problem And for you to continue to preach on healing, you're going to have this conflict. You're going to have a conflict between what you're saying and what you see. And most people, rather than deal with that conflict and stuff, they will just avoid it. And they won't preach on it. And they will sit there and say, well, maybe it's not God's will for every person to be healed. Maybe it's not God's time for you to be healed. They'll come up with some way and they will start watering down the truth about God wants you healed. But if you're a traveling ministry, you can go in and preach the gospel, pray for people and leave, and you don't have to deal with the consequences. That's what Oral Roberts was talking about. You know, I can understand the position that this puts you in. I remember after this Nikki Olshinsky got healed, that I played her testimony on Monday's broadcast, that the next year when I came back to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we played her testimony on my television programs. I said, bring the sick, bring the blind, the deaf, the dumb. We're going to pray for people. And did you know, I remember being at a little church in Dallas that probably only held 100, maybe 150 maximum, and ambulances started coming. And they were bringing people in on stretchers and in wheelchairs. And you know what? My first reaction is, oh, Jesus, I don't want to preach this stuff because it puts you on the spot. And you know what? I had to deal with things, and I started praying with people. And I didn't see every single person healed. We saw people come out of wheelchairs, people who were lame walk, but not every single person walked. And you know what? It's a conflict. It's a struggle. I'm going to deal with this later in the series and talk about some of the reasons why I know people don't manifest their healing. And I don't know it all yet. I still don't understand everything. But I believe without any reservation that it's always God's will to heal. And some people would look at the one that didn't get healed instead of at the dozens who were healed, the dozens who had their deaf ears open that night that I was talking about in Dallas, and dozens that came out of wheelchairs, and miracles happened, but there were some people that walked out. And the average person would look at the one who didn't receive and skip the dozens and dozens and dozens of people who do receive. Matter of fact, this same time I was with Oral Roberts, one of the questions that was asked him is, how do you deal with the people who don't receive their healing? And he nearly broke down and cried. And he says, that's the hardest thing I've ever had to deal with. And he says, I was actually going to quit praying for people because of the ones who wouldn't manifest. And the Lord just spoke to him and said, Oral, if you do that, you aren't going to see people healed anymore. He says, what you got to do is look at the ones who are healed. And if you only get one healed, that's one more healed than would have been healed. You've got to preach the truth, and you've got to look at the ones who receive and not the ones who don't receive. Anyway, I'll be dealing with this more in this series, but the point I'm trying to get across is these scriptures, the things I'm sharing with you, show that healing is a part of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't want you to be sick any more than He wants you to sin. And if you would go to resisting sickness the way that you resist sin, then praise God, you would start seeing healing manifest in your body.
The thing that God's put in you to do is something that really you get motivated to do. You get more specific direction. And God just really speaks to you throughout the third year as to how I want you to do this, the steps I want you to take, and really He makes your path straight as you go forward to do that.
It's just unbelievable. It's so much more than what I expected it to be, but what it's doing is it's preparing me for ministry.
Everything they teach is just so practical. It really is easy to understand.
The Ministry Training Program is designed to help Charis Bible College graduates identify and be equipped in their calling of either business, media, ministry, missions, or worship. The Business School gives students the opportunity to learn from entrepreneurs about planning, implementing, and running successful businesses. The Media School is a workshop environment where students go beyond theory to build media communications from the ground up. The Ministry School's curriculum includes continued immersion in God's Word, in-depth ministry experience, and teaching workshops. The Mission School will be offered for the first time in the 2013-2014 academic year and will give students an opportunity to experience missionary life firsthand through an extended stay on the mission field. The Worship School focuses on mentoring and developing CBC graduates to lead the body of Christ into genuine worship with character and integrity. The ministry training program also offers more sound, biblical teaching that our graduates loved during their first and second years at Charis Bible College. To learn more about this program available to Charis Bible College graduates, visit our website at charisbiblecollege.org.
Today's teaching titled, God Wants You Well, is available as part of the God Wants You Well package. This package includes the entire God Wants You Well teaching series on CD, the God Wants You Well book, the companion study guide, the God Wants You Well booklet, and Healing Journeys Volumes 1, 2, 3, and 4. Together, the four Healing Journeys DVDs contain a total of 19 healing testimonies that will inspire your faith and help you reach out to receive all that God has for you. This package has a catalog value of $182, but today you can get these valuable resources for a gift of just $100 or more. In addition, all individual products mentioned on today's program can be ordered through our website by going to awmi.net and clicking on Today's TV Offer. Also, if you'd like to receive more of Andrew's teachings on healing, you can find them on the Healing MP3 drive. This easy-to-use card connects to your computer with an attached USB cable and includes over 43 hours of related teachings on healing. Purchased separately on CD, these teachings have a value of $268. But you can get them all in MP3 format on this Healing MP3 drive for a gift of $85 or more. The first audio teaching in today's series is titled, Healing is in Christ's Atonement. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download many free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember, you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.